Tanis, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel, 4-3. We continue to discuss the Anshei HaMamed, the people who are participating as the representatives of the Jewish people with respect to the various korbanos, particularly the korban tamid, as well as the musafin, etc., the public communal offerings. And you recall we had two sort of loose ends in the previous two Mishnayos, which will kind of be tied together over here. The big picture is that the people who are the Pam of the Mamed are doing three basic things. They are fasting, they are praying that the Korban should be accepted, and they are reading the section of the Torah that corresponds to that particular day in terms of Ma'aseh Bereishis, the creation of the world. Now, the word Anshei Mamed really can refer to two separate things. They're overlapping. One is, in general, the Ma'amados can be referring to just the Yisraelim, who are the representatives from all 12 of the Shvatim, the tribes, as who stand along with the Kohanim and Leviim to participate, like we said before, as representatives of Klal Yisrael. But really, the Anshei Mamed also comprises Kohanim and Leviim. So that would mean back in the Beis HaMikdash, and when they're standing in the Azara doing the Tamid, you would have Leviim standing there, as well as Kohanim, the Kohanim who are present, and would be Kohanim who are on that week's Mishmar, so it's their week to serve, but not they're not part of that day's base of the particular seventh, let's call it, of the Mishmar of Kohanim who are serving that week. So it's just one seventh, one base of per day. Those are sort of reservists off duty. They will be part of the Mamed. So now let's just go back and our mission will discuss two points. Number one, details about the fasting, and number two, details about the Kriya Satora, the reading of the Ma'aseh Bereishis, the creation of the world. But just to make sure everything is clear, the two loose ends that I want to make sure are tied together now. The one is the last words that we said in the previous Mishnah Beis had talked about the Koran B'Ma'aseh Bereishis. They read the sections regarding the creation of the world, so that's exactly what we're going to explicate over here. How they read, what they read exactly, when they read. And the other thing, which is a little bit loose, was back in the first Mishnah of the Perek, we said that the Kohanim are Nosen Kapayan, they do Birkas Kohanim in the afternoons, on days when people are fasting, because there's no concern that they were Shesuya Yain, that they had drunk wine. And we said three categories of days when that would happen. And if you recall, we said Tanios, fast days. Of course, they haven't drunk because it's a fast day. And Yom Kippurim, similarly, it's a fast day. That first Tanios is like the public fast days for no rain, etc. And we also had a thing called the Ma'amados. The people in the Ma'amados are doing Birkas Kohanim. So the case over there would have to be that we're talking about Kohanim who are fasting that day because they are participating as part of the Anshei Mamed. They're part of the people who are fasting all day. And they would be doing, let's say, Birkas Kohanim in Yerushalayim with the other Yisraelim who are there. Let's say the way it would work is the Anshei Mamed, Kohanim and Yisraelim alike, would be standing there doing for the blood of Oda, meaning the Shechita through the Zrika, the application of the blood of the Tamid. Then they'd run to Daman Shacharis, saying Kriya Shema Shacharis, and doing their prayers and reading prayers that the Korban should be accepted, as well as the reading of the Ma'aseh Bereishis. So who would be in that minyan there in Yerushalayim? You'd have both Yisraelim are part of the Anshei Mamed, as well as Kohanim, who are part of the Anshei Mamed, because they're part of, that day's Anshei Mamed, it's not their base off turn to serve. So in such a minyan, which we'll see later on, it's going to convene for the Anshei Mamed. We have them convening multiple times throughout the day. And at each time, since the Kohanim are fasting still as part of the Anshei Mamed, they'll be able to do Birkas Kohanim and such minyanim, even in the afternoons. So that's what's going on over there. So back over here in Mishnah Gimel, we're going to talk about those two points, the fasting first and then the reading of the Torah. So it says here, Anshei HaMamed Hayu Mis'anin Arba Yamim. The people of the Mamed would fast on 4 days of the week, B'Shavua, Miyom Sheni V'Yad Yom Chamishi, from the second day, meaning Monday, until Yom Chamishi, the fifth day, meaning Thursday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, those 4 days are fast days for those who participate as Anshei HaMamed. And the fast, of course, goes from morning to evening. They don't fast, they don't not eat for 4 days, they just don't eat during the daytime for 4 days. But after, when nightfall comes, before daybreak comes, they certainly could eat. And I'm sure they did eat. Now, the question is, why are we skipping Yom Rishon, Sunday, Yom Shishi, Friday, and it goes without saying we're not doing Shabbos because they don't fast on Shabbos, one doesn't fast on Shabbos, because that would be Shabbos the day for Oneg, and certainly not for fasting. But why not on the Sunday and Friday? So, v'lo hayu mis'an erev Shabbos, they didn't fast on erev Shabbos, meaning on Friday, mipnei kavod Shabbos, because we don't want people coming into Shabbos being hungry and miserable. No. That's not appropriate for Shabbos to begin in that sad frame of mind, or the hungry frame, the stressed frame. And therefore, people will be not fasting on Fridays. They go into Shabbos comfortable and happy, so every minute of Shabbos is indeed an oneg. V'lo be'echad b'Shabbos, they also don't fast on the first day of Shabbos, meaning the Sunday morning after the first day of their ma'amad period. Kadesh lo yetzu me'menucha va'oneg, so they shouldn't transition like so abruptly from menucha is rest, meaning on Shabbos, va'oneg, enjoyment, luxuriation on Shabbos, to liyagia v'tanis, to like exertion, and the opposite of menucha, not rest, you know, to effort, and tanis and fasting, v'yamusu, and that could be a, you know, very distressing on the system, and 40 days of fasting like that could even, you know, God forbid, even cause someone to die. The Gemara in Ksubas famously says, "Shinui vest tchilas choli." When a person changes his routine, so that's the beginning of getting sick, and that's an important mussar. And the Rambam brings that lahalacha in Hilchos Deos, that if a person, when, you know, the beginning of getting sick is changing your routine, bad news. So that such an abrupt change would be very unhelpful. From eating and indulging on Shabbos to fasting for 4 days, and or 5 days if it would be including the Sunday. So therefore, we don't fast on that first day, Yom Rishon. That's the only reason given in the Mishnah. The Gemara actually gives other reasons. Interestingly, there's a sheet of Rabbi Yochanan who says, we don't fast on Sunday, mipnei ha-notrim. Now, the Meiri point, notrim typically translates as the Christians, and the Christians certainly do have their holiday on Sunday, and the concern was we shouldn't offend them. The Meiri raised the point that during the time of the Temple, the Christians, early Christians, certainly hadn't established Sunday as their day yet, and that being the case, it doesn't make so much sense. So the Meiri understands the notrim here is referring to the Babylonians, the Nebuchadnezzar gang, who raised up a sun for worship on Sunday, and it would be offensive to them for us to have that as a fast day. Also interestingly, Reish Lakish refers to the Neshama Yaseira, the tradition that a person gets an extra soul, whatever that means exactly, on Shabbos. It comes in, and Shabbos comes in, and goes out, and Shabbos goes out. And the concern is, sort of connected to the idea in the Mishnah, that the abrupt loss of the Neshama Yaseira, which is considered to be sort of like, you know, you feel kind of empty, that's one of the reasons why we're smelling Besamim on Moti Shabbos, sort of reinvigorate ourselves in the loss of that. With the loss of that, and the wake of the loss of that Neshama Yisera. So it would be sort of adding insult to injury or whatever, making things worse, exacerbating by also fasting, which is too much, and therefore no fasting on Sunday. Okay, so that's the first part of the mission. Now we're going to talk about the Kriyas HaTorahs. What are they reading and when? So we're going to see that they're reading multiple times throughout the day, but what are they reading before we say when? So the basic gist of the Mishnah, although that's not what the Mishnah says, but the gist of the Mishnah is that on the first day of their Ma'amad service, they will read from the first day of Kriyas, of Briyas Olam, of creation, like what happened on day one, and then the second day, meaning on the Monday, they'll read what happened on day two, and so forth. The problem is that the number of verses in each of those sections, what happened on day one, day two, day three, etc., is in no case 9 verses. And the problem is when you have Kriyas HaTorah, you need to have 3 people come up, Cohen, Levi, Yisrael. Each has to read 3 psukim, so you just don't have enough psukim to go around. And therefore, the Mishnah will imply that since that's not going to work, we'll have to read on day one, we'll read day one and day two, so we have enough psukim so everyone can get a chance to read. And similarly, on day two, we'll read about day two of creation and day three of creation, and so on and so forth. So here the Mishnah says, B'yom HaRishon, on the Sunday morning, Yom Rishon, we read Bereishis, meaning the Anshei Ma'amad read Bereishis, those verses starting from, you know, Bereishis, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Now there are a total of 5 psukim. In the first 5 psukim are the Bereishis, the first day. That's not enough, and therefore V'yirakia, they also read from the second day, referring to the creation of the sky, the firmament. So the way it works out is you have 5 verses in Yom Rishon, and you have 3 verses for Yom Sheni. That adds up to 8. She looks still short a little bit, but the way they do it is that Cohen reads verses 1 to 3 of day 1, and then the Levi reads verses 3 to 5 of day 1. So actually, it's an overlap. Both Cohen and Levi each read verse 3, but no, that's Ein Beira, no choices besides that. It's the best we can do. And that's why at least each Ola, Cohen and Levi, both get to read three Psukim. And no one like sort of, you know, crosses over to the next day. Everyone has a discrete section, 1 to 3, then 3 to 5. And then the Levi finishes day one. And then you have Yisrael who comes and he reads the three Psukim of day two. Okay, on day two, we have to say we have three Psukim, so that's not going to be enough for our three Aliyahs. And therefore, B'sheni on the second day, Yihi Rakia, they read Yihi Rakia, that's day two's reading, as well as V'yikvu HaMayim, the gathering of the waters, on day three. So there's three Psukim on day two. There are five Psukim in the Torah talking about day three. And therefore, Cohen reads verses 1, 2, and 3 of day two. And then, kind of like with the previous section, the Levi reads verses 1, 2, and 3 of day two, and then Yisrael reads again verse 3, as well as 4 and 5 of day 3. By this overlapping of Psukim happens for us on Rosh Chodesh. It was not totally unheard of. In any case, that's it. B'shlish on the third day, so you have, we said, 5 Psukim that refer to day 3, and there are a total of 6 Psukim that talk about day 4. So the breakdown will, so they'll read B'shlish of Yikvu HaMayim, they read that parsha about day 3, gathering the waters, and Yihi Ma'oros, the creation of the luminaries in the sky. Since that is 6 Psukim, what happens is the Kohen reads 1 to 5, the Psukim about Yom Shlishi, Ayikvu HaMayim, and then Levi reads the first 3 of the 6 of Yihi Ma'oros, and Yisrael reads the second 3, 4 to 6 of Yihi Ma'oros. On day 4, Berevi'i, so then you have Yihi Ma'oros, which are 6 Psukim, like we said, as well as Vishitzur HaMayim, the teeming of the waters, that's day 5, so that has 4 more Psukim, so you have 6 and 4. Total 10, how it works out, therefore, is that the Kohen does 1 to 3 of Yihi Ma'oros, Levi does 4 to 6 of Yihi Ma'oros, and then the Yisrael does 1 to 4, all of them, for Yishtzur HaMayim. Then Yom Chamishi, you're going to read Yishtzur HaMayim, as well as Batotze HaAretz, bringing forth of the animals here. So, on day 6, we have 4 verses on day 5, 6 verses about day 6, so that means Kohen reads 1 to 4, the whole thing about Yom Chamishi, Yishtzur HaMayim, then Levi and Yisrael will divide those 8 Psukim amongst themselves for Totzi Arts. On Yom Shishi, again, you have 8 Psukim, which is not 9, so 8 Psukim you have talking about Totzi Arts, and then you have Vayechu HaShemayim, 3 more Psukim talking about the 7th day, Shabbos. So again, the breakdown is that Cohen and Levi split those first 8 Psukim, and then Yisrael takes the 3 Psukim of Vayechu HaShemayim, and that's that. Now, the Mishnah says the principle of how we divide these things up, kind of as I just set forth for you, which is Parsha Gadola, if you have a bigger section. So then Koronoso Shnaim, and 2 people divide it up, like I described. Vakatana, the smaller of the two, which is says 3 Psukim, that B'yachid, a single person reads it. Now, the Mishnah goes on to say, when is this reading happening? B'shachris, at Shachris time, they'll do the reading. Like an Aliyah, as well as Uva Musaf. Also in Musaf, they'll bring the Sefer Torah a second time for a second Kriyas Torah with the same Psukim. That's how it works. But only if you're talking about Anshei Ma'amad, people who are outside of Yerushalayim. You recall that you could be a Yisrael as part of the Ma'amad and be sort of vicariously participating from your hometown, far out of Jerusalem. If that's what's happening, so then you'll say the, you know, you're sitting in Haifa, so then you will do the Kriyas Torah for a second time at Musaf. But if you're back in Yerushalayim, so you're in a bit of a rush because you have to get back to the Azara, the temple courtyard, in time to be present for the burning of the limbs of the Tavid or Musaf, as well as the Nesachim. They're going to do some wine libations and meal offerings. The Nesachim, they accompany the Tamidin. So you have to be there for those. So therefore, no reading from a Sefer Torah a second time. For Musaf, you're going to rush back to be present in time for the offering, the completion of the offering of the Tamid. Uva Mincha, and Mincha time, so again, you're back to, everyone's back to having Mincha, and again, they will read the Parsha all over again, but Nichnasim v'Koron Alpian, they won't do it from a Sefer Torah, rather they'll say it Alpian, meaning they'll say it from memory, Baal Peh, from memory, because They're fasting, and now it's too much for them. So we'll make it a little easier on them and let them say it just from memory. Kekoron Eshma, the same way people say Shema from memory. Now these last words of the Mishnah here are a little ostensibly superfluous. What is that? Who cares? Why be equating Shmo? Who bring that in? Just say what the din. So the answer is, under normal circumstances, one is not supposed to say verses from the Torah from memory. You're supposed to read them out of the book, out of the Torah, out of the scroll. So that's normally forbidden to say psukim ba'al peh. But there's a general dispensation for psukim that are very familiar to everybody, then you can say them ba'al peh. Like, for example, Kriya Shema, people, you know, say Kriya Shema Lamita, they're not reading inside a book necessarily, and that's going to be okay because people know Kriya Shema very well, and that's how it is. So similarly, just as they can read Kriya Shema ba'al peh because they know it very well, so too they can recite the Maase Bereishis stuff from memory, because these people, as you see, they're saying it morning, noon, and night. They keep on doing those psukim of Maase Bereishis. They know it very well, and like Kriya Shema, they can say it from memory. That's for Mincha time. Now remember, they also have a Ne'ilah. They have another fourth prayer service. There's no mention here in the Mishnah of what happened there. So it's Machlokes Rishonim. According to the Rambam, ostensibly the Bar Tanura, so they would again read it Ba'al Peh. They'd say it from memory at a Ne'ilah time, this psukim. Rashi learns they don't say it at all. That is, there's no Mishnah suggesting that there's no reading of the Maase Bereishis at the special Ne'ilah prayer for the Anshei Mamed. Erev Shabbos B'Mincha, also on Erev Shabbos, Friday afternoon, B'Mincha time, Lo Hayu Nichnas, and they didn't get together at all, B'Pnei Kavod Shabbos, because for the honor of Shabbos, meaning we want them to have time to get their Shabbos preparations taken care of, so they shouldn't come to Shabbos rushed or unprepared for Shabbos, and therefore there's no Mincha gathering on the Friday afternoon for the Anshei HaMamet.